you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you, I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Reading from Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 1.
When the seventh month came, and the Israelites had settled in their towns, all the people assembled as one man in the square before the water gate. They told Ezra the scribe to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. That's Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 1.
O magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, finally Friday, September 13th, 2024. Oh, it's a historic day. We're at the Guitars and Cadillacs Studio, 201 West Oak Street, also known as Route 150 in Mahomet. This is our first ever recording here with a bunch of friends in the room. Actually, a couple new friends are joining us for the first time. Denny Hatcher, you know about Hatcher Cars, right? In Mahomet. In fact, we're just about a block away, a half a block away to the west of his great ministry work there as he sells cars, and he loves on people. He extends the love of Christ to everyone that goes onto his car lot, so we appreciate our friend Denny Hatcher. Good friends call him Hatch. So Denny, thank you for joining us. And also Bill Pythman, a lawyer, doesn't need new clients. He's trying to transition into retirement, but he still carries a load, and he's a part of a small group on Thursdays, the Pinnacle Partners, that we meet in town at the Open Room. And I've known Bill for the last year or so as he's been a part of our group, growing in his faith journey, a heart of gold, and he loves people. And so appreciate Bill also joining us, along with the Fernalds and the Zools and Tad and Pastor Jason Schiffo. Jim Gunther is working the sound, and the Joneses, Richard and Debbie. So appreciate them. So the only person that's a regular that's not here is Alaric Shafley, and he couldn't get a ride in from Champaign, but we're going to be meeting here at Guitars and Cadillacs, I call it Jim Gunther's studio, in the coming days. And we appreciate the Salvation Army for all the time this last year that they've had our makeshift studio there and the events we put on there. But this is great accommodations. I think we have 14 microphones, and everyone has their own microphone. And those of you that listen closely, you'll hear the sound is just so much better, and these are great accommodations. And we thank Jim Gunther for extending the hospitality and being here, being our sound man today and assisting. And as you know, on Fridays, we've been going through the book verse by verse, chapter by chapter of Nehemiah, and we find ourselves in chapter 8. So, Pastor Jason, thank you for facilitating our discussion today and preparing and being ready to teach us. And I trust our listeners will be open to gleaning some truths that'll make a difference as they witness for Christ in the workplace or wherever they go.
Well, we're in the book of Nehemiah. We're in chapter 8 today. But before we make our way through chapter 8, let's just remind ourselves of how we got here. And how we got here happened many months ago in the very first chapter of Nehemiah. And it says, "Now it happened in the month of Chislev in the 20th year, I was in Susa, the citadel." And from there, we learn that Nehemiah hears of the conditions in Jerusalem. He hears how the walls are broken down, the temple is demolished, the people are in ruin. And Nehemiah, what does he do? What's the first thing he does?
Praise.
Praise. This is going to become Nehemiah's practice and how he deals with all of the things that come against him. He prays. And he prays this amazing prayer. "Lord, you're awesome and you can do all kinds of things. Will you do something in this?" And then God answers his prayer, but who's the answer to Nehemiah's prayer? Nehemiah. How many times have you prayed a prayer and then felt the Holy Spirit kind of nudge you on the shoulder and go, "I think maybe you're the answer to that prayer."
Amen.
And so Nehemiah goes into the room with the king, and the king looks at him and goes, "You're a little downtrodden. Is everything okay, Nehemiah?" And this is a difficult moment, right? Because this could be seen as weakness on Nehemiah's part, and the king could go, "Off with your head." But instead, the king goes, "Tell me what's going on. How can I help?" And from there, Nehemiah is sent to Jerusalem. And he comes there and he surveys the walls, which have been demolished for over 100 years. Let's just get a little idea of the timetable here, okay? 100 years, the walls have been in ruin. Nehemiah prays for 4 months. Persistent prayer. And he comes to this place, surveys the walls, tells the people what God can do. And the people get themselves to the task of doing it, even against the oppression that keeps them and the persecution that comes against them to get them to stop doing it. And in 52 days, the walls have been erected. 100 years, they've been demolished. 4 months of prayer and 52 days of doing the work in the strength of God. And the walls have been erected.
And Jason, they weren't erected by these builders that were efficient, that were great, that were capable of doing it. It was built by the unlikelies.
They weren't professionals. There were perfumers, there were jewelry makers, there were all kinds. There were families together. These were not professionals. God is not looking for professionals. God is looking for people who are willing to be empowered by His Spirit to do more than they can ask or imagine. And that's exactly what happens here. And so, as I've said many times as we've been looking at the book of Nehemiah, God is building a wall, but what's He really rebuilding?
People.
People. He's rebuilding His people. What for? For chapter 8. So that His people can worship Him. This goes all the way back to what we experience in the Exodus, right? When Moses goes to Pharaoh in the Exodus, he says, "Let my people go." Why?
So that they can worship me.
And here, these people are being rebuilt into a people who have faith, and the faith that believes and worships. And so it says here, as we begin, that Ezra the scribe brings out the book of the law, the word of God, just as Moses had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought out the law before the assembly, both men and women and all. Remember, we talked about last week, everybody is here, men and women and all. That means kids and children and everybody are gathered together. What are they gathered together for? This really amazing worship service? I mean, with a big band and the big screen up there and all that kind of, what are they going to do?
Listen.
They're going to listen to the law.
They're going to listen to somebody read the Bible. When was the last time you sat down and just listened to somebody read the Bible? Without all of the other distractions that we sometimes tend to throw in worship services and things like that. They're just going to read the word. They're just going to listen to the word and allow the Spirit to mediate that experience.
And I think you've said in the past, Jason, the art of listening has been lost in the current generation for most of us. We're so busy doing that it's hard to stop and pause.
That experience.
And I think you've said in the past, Jason.
Exactly.
And lost in the current.
Like taking every.
For most of us, we're so busy doing that it's hard to stop and pause and really not only listen and hear, but focus on what's being said.
Exactly. And the Bible tells us to do crazy things, right? Like taking every word, every thought into our heart to ponder and meditate upon every word. And so it says. That Ezra, he read from it facing the square before the water gate from early morning until midday. So it isn't just that he's going to read the Bible to them out loud. It's that he's going to read the Bible to them out loud from morning until midday. Half the day is going to be spent with Ezra reading the Bible to the people in the presence of men and women and all those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. Let's just pause there for a minute. Does anybody have any thoughts about that? Because you've got men, women, and kids, and everybody, and they're attentive from morning until midday to the Bible being read.
That was somewhat miraculous in and of itself.
I can't even get my kids to listen for about 5 or 10 minutes. I can't imagine if it was going to go from morning until midday.
That's the presence of the Holy Spirit being with the people.
Exactly. Exactly. And the people believing. They've seen God do miraculous things, haven't they? They've seen God keep their enemies at bay. They've seen God erect these walls in 52 days. They've seen God take common people and do an uncommon thing. And they want to know, they're hungry. They want to know more about who God is. They're to drink from the word of God like these people are. so attentive to all the words, every single one of them.
And Jason, I'm thinking, we've talked about this in the past, even on Sundays. Are we preparing our hearts and our minds? Are we going to bed early? Are we sleeping on Saturday night to anticipate what God may speak to us through the pastor, through what's going to happen on Sunday? And so there has to be an intentionality on our part to go into this with expectant hearts that God's going to speak through the word.
Yeah, well, just think about Exodus chapter 19, and I've been preaching out of the book of Exodus in our church. And in Exodus 19, God calls the people to this place at Horeb in the mountain of God. And God comes down to them and he says, listen, I want to make a covenant with you. I want you to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Do you want to do that? And Moses comes down the mountain and tells the people that. And the people say, we want to do it. Tell the Lord we're in. And then the Lord goes, okay, great. I want you to consecrate yourself. I want you to wash your clothes. And I want you to spend 2 days preparing, because on the third day I'm going to come. The Lord says, it's easy for you to say, I'm in. I want to see if you're really in. I want you to do the hard work of getting rid of the idols in your life and the corrupting influences and those kinds of things. I want you to spend the time washing your clothes. By the way, when it says washing your clothes in Exodus 19, it doesn't mean just getting rid of your stinky clothes. What it means is actively addressing the sin that is in you. Because the word for clothes there is the same word used for clothes when they came out of Egypt. And so what God is saying is, I need you to wash Egypt off of you because I'm taking you to a new place. And you have to do it for 2 days. See, it's easy to do something for a little bit, right? I mean, we could read the Bible and be attentive for a few minutes. But 2 days? That gets a little harder. Waiting for the third day? That gets a little harder. I think that in Exodus 19, God is saying to the people, are you serious? Are you serious about the things of God? Are you serious about what it means to follow me? Are you willing in your seriousness to sacrifice some of what you desire and what you want so that you can focus on what I want? That's what these people are doing here. I have to think that these people are not that much different than all of us and had a whole list of things they need to get done. And in order to spend until midday to do what they're doing here, I have to think the sacrifice involved. And so it says, and Ezra the scribe stood up on a wooden platform. So they erected a little wooden platform for him to stand on so that he could be heard clearly amongst the people, so that he could be seen as he was reading the word. Why? Because there were so many people gathered there. They erected a little wooden platform for him to stand on so that he could be heard clearly amongst the people, so that he could be seen as he was reading the word. Why? Because there were so many people gathered there. There were all the men, all the women, and all the people. And it was made for this purpose. And then there's a listing of names. Can you tell us what those names are, Tad?
With no show prep.
Starting in which verse?
Four.
Okay. Ezra the scribe stood on a high wooden platform built for the occasion. Beside him on his right stood Mattathiah, Shema, Ananiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, Maaseiah. And on his left were Padiah, Mishael, Milkiah, Hashem, Hashbadana, Zechariah, and Meshillam.
What was that third to the last one again?
I knew that was coming.
I'm kidding. But hey, listen here. Why do you think that this is in here? Does anybody have a thought?
Well, it's real people. People that were involved and God wanted to recognize their commitment and their involvement.
Right. The second thing is, did you notice that there are people on his right and people on his left? Why do you think there's people on his right and people on his left?
To include everyone.
To include everyone, yep. But also remember Exodus chapter 17. Moses goes up on top of the mountain, and as the Israelites are fighting of doing this ministry. Do you think that reading the Bible from morning until midday, maybe Ezra got a little weary?
Oh, yes.
Didn't remember to take a drink of water? Needed somebody to hold him up as he was trying to do the work God called him to do? He had people on his right and his left. My question for us is, do we have people on our right and left who lift us up and hold us up? Because all of us have the same kind of weariness that Moses had. We at times will get weary. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of the people, above all the people, and he opened it, all the people stood. There was a sense of reverence as the word was opened. I think that sometimes we've lost that reverence for the Bible. It's not just a book. It's God's revelation to us. It's important. for many, too many of us, it's a book that just gets, you know, we take it Sunday morning and then we throw it in the back seat. The pages curl up a little bit and we take it back out on Sunday. It's more of an accessory to our Christianity than the center of our understanding who God is. I mean, just think, if you look historically, all the things that the Word of God has survived. Why? Because, but God says in the Word that my Word will stand forever. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen and Amen, lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads, and they worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And then we get another list of people who helped Ezra conduct this worship service. And they read from the book of the law of God clearly, and they gave the sense so that all the people understood the reading. Listen, they didn't read the book and they go, okay, now in the Hebrew it means this, and in the Greek it means this and this. No, they read it clearly so the people could understand it. Following God is not an academic exercise. And sometimes we want to people could understand it. Following God is not an academic exercise. And sometimes we want to bring the Word of God to people in such a way that we want to show off our academics instead of making sure that they understand what it says. Because if they don't understand what it says, do you think they can do it?
Nope.
No.
Jason, wasn't there a sense that as he preached it, there could have been times where they huddled and talked about it and discussed it a little maybe before he went on? I mean, we're not sure, but wasn't there a sense that they were relaying some of the things they're thinking about what he just may have said?
Yeah, a lot of the scholars think that what happened is probably Ezra would pause and that the Levites and the priests who were around and with him would go around and go, okay, so did you understand what that meant? And did you see where Moses did this? Did you see where Joshua did this? Did you see where this happened? I mean, they were going around and they were kind of helping them to understand what it was saying, because understanding is so important. Again, if we just preach for the sake of preaching, if we just read the Bible to people for the sake of reading the Bible and not for the sake of understanding, then I'm not sure what the exercise was for. I'm not sure why we did it. We're doing it because it's supposed to change lives. It's supposed to affect people's lives. But if they don't understand clearly, then how can this learning be for the living? This learning is meant to be for the living. When Paul says pray without ceasing, he isn't just saying it because it sounds like a wonderful academic exercise. He's saying it because it's a linchpin to our faith. He's saying don't break communication with the God who loves you and redeemed you and saved you. And so here, when you read chapter 8, as far as we've gotten so far, you see a real intentionality in Ezra and the people who are serving with Ezra to make sure that they can serve the people well. And these are people who haven't heard the Word of God in quite some time. By the way, we run into every single day people who haven't heard the Word of God for quite some time, haven't we?
Yes.
And maybe haven't even heard it at all. And then we kind of quote a verse to them and they're like, I don't even know what that means. Mm-hmm. That's why whenever I share that with somebody, I don't ever say the world. I say their name. And I said, if I know anything about anything, it's this, that we all need to feel loved. And you are so loved. And then I just leave it there. I found that they circle back because they're intrigued by this idea that they can actually feel loved. And so sometimes we need to be very clear. Why? Because these words matter. And it says there, and they read from the book of the law. This is verse 8. Clearly, and they gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. You can't do what you don't understand. And what I see here that I think is really fascinating is Ezra's not telling entertaining stories. He's not using illustration. We don't really get a sense that he's just reading the Word. Reading the Word can be life-changing. If you're willing to read the Word because you want God to change your life.
You know, Jason, I'm looking at, I'm sure we're going to pick up next week at the same place, but it says, all the people began sobbing when they heard the commands of the law, when they heard them reading. And I would exhort you, I would encourage you, I would ask you today, spend some time in God's Word. And before you start reading it, just ask Him, say, Holy Spirit, enlighten my mind, guide me, help me glean truth, help me understand God's love, communicate to me a message that's personal for me from God. And if you pray that, I have to believe that God will answer that prayer. He delights in you. He loved you. He created you. He has plans and purposes for you, and He wants to spend an eternity with you, and He wants you to be equipped today to go into all your world, wherever you go, as you go, to share this good news message. But you get to learn about the good news message by understanding who Jesus is, and He's proclaimed in the Word, and He is the Word. He's the Word, the truth, and the life. And so listening, friend, as you prepare to go to church this Sunday, as you meet with other friends, as you read the scriptures and as you pray, I trust that God will meet you where you're at, wherever you're at, even if you're far from God, even if you're somebody today that's struggling with the reality that you don't even think there's a God. Well, He does exist. He created you. He cares for you, and He'll pursue you. And maybe the fact that you're tuned into this broadcast today is one of the ways that He's validating that He cares for you. You know, Jason, when we began this program, we talked about that they were meeting before God and there was praise and worship. And I'm thinking of at the end of this month, actually, it looks like it's 16 days away. There's going to be hopefully 1,000+ of us meeting at the Virginia Theater in downtown Champaign. It's a call to praise and worship. We're going to worship God. We're going to praise God. There's going to be a message and time for us to gather in His name. And so we'd love you all to attend. I know a lot of churches are involved. Over 45 different churches are announcing it, are helping. Many of these pastors that come together once a month really love the idea of all of us gathering as one people to praise and worship God. You can find out more at greatnewsradio.org. greatnewsradio.org. There's a graphic right there, and if you click on it, it'll give you all the information. And it'd be helpful if you sign up, just so we have an idea. Are we at 2,000? Are we at 1,500? But if you'll sign up, that'll help, and we'll have things to hand out that evening. So that's coming up on the 29th, Sunday night, 6 p.m., Virginia Theater in downtown Champaign. Parking is all around the area. Doors will open at 5:15, and the program will formally start at 6. You don't want to miss it. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Pastor Jason Schiffo, and a room of friends with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day, night, and weekend.